Could you all take your seats, please? Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, and the God of eternal ages, who hast permitted poor creatures, poor sinners, to use the word eternal to consider, as far as they are enabled, the solemn meaning of eternity. And as we meet here upon this occasion, we are reminded once more that thou remainest our dearest comfort, fall before thy sovereign will. Thou askest no leave of us. Thou takest away, but thou remainest the hope of Israel, the comfort of all those who put their trust in thee. And upon such an occasion as this, particularly in the heart of the dear bereaved, there is great need of thee, O Lord. For thou didst not ask, but neither wilt thou be beholden. Thou hast taken away, Father, thou hast taken away a husband, and more important than both of them, thou hast taken from the walls of Zion one of her trumpeters. We all have cause, therefore, to bow before thee, not to sorrow, indeed, as those without hope, nor indeed if thou wilt help us, begrudge that which is now exchanged for eternal joy. But thou knowest our frame, and O Lord Jesus, thou didst wear it thyself, and thou didst weep at the grave of one whom thou lovest. Grant that tears may not be restrained, let them flow freely, but let there be no inward unhappiness or quiet disputing with thee. Help us all to feel that the will of the Lord be done. We thank thee for the life given, for the labor of the ministry, and now many meet together this time in humble gratitude for the fulfillment of that promise that the labourer worthy of his hire, not the hire of money, but the heart of love, the priceless possession of thy dear people bestowed upon thy poor servants for their labors upon the walls of Zion. So help us now, we pray thee, to bow humbly and tenderly before thee, entering fully, as many of us can, into the heart feelings of the dear widow and the dear children. Grant that they may be blessed, for it is a pathway of blessing. The valley is not to be despised, dear Lord. Deepen thy work of grace in the hearts of the children, and establish the heart of the dear widow in the pathway of bereavement. Strengthen her in body and in spirit, and give her grace firmly and humbly to take this cup and drink it to the dregs, that therein she may find a full submission to the will of that gracious God who led them both together and taught them in the ways of Zion. We ask these mercies with the forgiveness of what we ask amiss. For thy name's sake, amen. We will read three portions of Scripture. One from the patriarch Job, another from Moses, and another from the apostle Paul. You will recognize them all, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not for another, though my reins be consumed within me. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up, in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withered. And the third one, now if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. You would have recognized in the first one the words of the patriarch John, written so long ago, buried as it were for so many, many years, and now alive and fresh. Joe desired that these words might be written in the lead, in the rock, and in lead forever. Well, I have been. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I'm given to understand that these were the last words that our dear brother uttered, and these, in a time of semi-consciousness, I know that my Redeemer liveth. How old real religion is, isn't it? From the beginning of the world, says the Apostle Paul, James, and others, from before the foundation of the world, we're taken back to such a vast scene as we cannot contemplate. But here is one with the utmost confidence, Job, that is, saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth. This was one of the bright places in his dark experience, like we all get. One would never think he could have been raised so high as to say such a thing when you hear him cursing the day of his birth. Perhaps no one would ever think you could be raised so high as you have been under God's blessing, when at times you have almost wondered as to your soul's beginning. And so it is. But he says he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. The latter day. It hasn't come yet. We are still waiting for it. The distant day that Job looked for, still not here. And though in my flesh, and though after my skin, worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Something we seldom contemplate, that this mortality, this dust before us, this flesh, so long active in the service of God and family and home life, this flesh, like all before it, shall be the food of worms. Can we contemplate it? How solemnly true it is, isn't it? And what a blessed, sobering thought to be favoured with. The worldling would say of it, it's morbid. Sinner taught of God values what Moses in the next reference speaks of, so teach us to number our days. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. So that the Redeemer and God, in the eyes of the patriarch Job, were indeed together. He saw God in his Redeemer, and in his Redeemer, God. And is that altered today? Are we a few friends here today, through grace brought to believe in the unity of the Father and the Son and the Blessed Spirit of truth? Indeed, I trust we may each give a warm yes, we are. He is the eternal Son of God. I shall see him. I shall see him with my eyes. I shall recognize him. I shall know him. Will this be true? Will you know the Lord Jesus? Will he know you? You who have mentioned and referred to him many times, what close work have we had with him, and he with us? Shall we know him? I shall see him, says Job. Now to Moses, Lord, thou hast been a dwelling place in all generations. To go no further with the 90th Psalm, a dwelling place in all generations. And I see upon the front of this sheet these very words from Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Dwelling place. What is a dwelling place? It's not somewhere that you just pitch your tent and have gone in the morning. It's not a place for wayfaring man. It's a dwelling place. I look at some of you aged ones here. And let us ask you, have you found another dwelling place in old age? A dwelling place. A home. Did not our dear brother find the Lord a dwelling place in his ministry? What an exercise it was to him. He was particularly sensitive as to the period before a service. Well known so to be. Dwelling place. Who knows the exercises of a ministerial heart? In all generations, what others to come, others before him, what about John Lee, the minister of years ago, his father, what about him? All generations, yes. Not a different dwelling place. From one generation, no modernization and alteration to suit the 20th century, indeed no. No, all generations, one generation shall declare thy truth to another, and how true it is. There are those of you who are younger here we recognize. Another generation from ours, you have heard, you have been called to listen, to believe. Do you want anything that your fathers had, or have you turned away from it? What a sacred thing for you younger ones, that you too may come with a free heart and say it is indeed from one generation to another. The same Redeemer that Job saw and the same God, the same precious blood and the same fountain opened for sin. You can't have a Redeemer without precious blood. And then the last one, the resurrection from Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead and so on, how say some that there is no resurrection from the dead? it would be unwise to assume that all of us here, even a little company as this, comparatively, do not say at this precise moment there is no resurrection from the dead. It may well be that you deny it and hope it isn't, and would rather put some trust in the crematorium and its destructive powers, hoping that you might eventually be annihilated. But no, the atheist, the denier of the resurrection, cannot find any comfort from the Word of God. But Paul says that if Christ be not risen, dead is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses unto God. I believe that there was one oft-repeated remark of dear Jabez Lee, and that was this: nothing false, nothing false. Now, my dear friends, if the doctrine of the resurrection is not true, Jabez Lee was false, and brethren, a good many more of us. What a sacred truth it is. Who can comprehend it? But truth is truth. And the apostle delights to affirm that it is undoubtedly so. Yea, and we have found false witnesses to God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And so from these few extracts from the Holy Scripture, we find these same truths. And though the standard bearer will be laid in the grave, the Lord can raise up other standard bearers, and we hope he will, and cause them to go forth with a silver trumpet in their hands. And also as regards this little sanctuary, and you friends who will so sadly feel the loss, the Lord is able, commit your way to him and seek his guidance and leading in this. And now to my brethren in the ministry, we're one the less, and none of us, though our ages differ, know when the time will come for us to lay down our arms. We are only poles. The brazen serpent was erected on a pole. It was the serpent that mattered, not the pole. We are only poles, we are only sowers. But, my dear brethren, you pray for us, don't you? We value your love and take this opportunity of telling you so, and also to look as this representative gathering come to pay their last respects to this dear servant of God, that it is not merely going to a funeral, but it's paying a token of a tender gratitude to the Lord for the services of this dear man of God. We commend, therefore, his dear wife and dear children and relatives, though for the most part we're strangers to them, to the tender mercies of that Redeemer whom Job saw, and that Christ who is risen from the dead. We will now sing the hymn on the hymn sheet, What Sacred Fountain Yonder Springs, Up from the Throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings to Jesus' precious blood.
Thank you.
Mr. King, will you kindly close with a few words of prayer?
Do
the little court here. Oh, Lord, it is a great loss. But we know that thou art a God of wisdom, and thou canst give them wisdom and lead them in wisdom's ways, and that they may yet find that thou dost make unto them, Jesus, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Do then bless us as we separate one from another, and as thy servant has already said, oh, to be favored, to know that we have a dwelling place in heaven, in eternal glory. Pardon our every sin. We ask it for the dear Redeemer's sake. Amen.
Will our friend Mr. Salkeld kindly pronounce the benediction, please?
Almighty and gracious God, wilt thou now dismiss us with thy blessing, and go with us, O Lord, to the graveside, and grant all needed grace and help there. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit, abide with us and with all thy dear people, now and forever. Amen.